Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today.
Hi, and welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. Today, I Amanda Dolan, and James Cox are joined by... I'm Amanda. You're James. Man, we are just all over the place.
That's right.
It's your fault, James. You put me in the wrong box earlier. So Amanda, me, James, we are joined by Brandy Wong. Brandy is originally from Cleveland, Ohio. She came up playing in a range of regional bands, including the Rock Outfit, the Scrapes, and country trio The Girls. She adopted the stage moniker Brandy Wine, which I kind of love, for her solo work, and moved to Seattle in the late 2000s, began recording your own music. She creates a dynamic hybrid of rock, pop, R&B, and blues. Her love of Aretha, Pink, and old Motown helped create this unique sound. In 2019, the EP Split Personality helped her gain some traction, headed into the next decade with additional singles like 2021's Don't Go There and Underneath It All that was released in 2022. And that featured adult contemporary singer Michael Cagle. After a run of well-received independent singles and EPs, Brandy Wine signed with World Movement Records in 2022. Last month, she released a new EP called Love, Loss, and Hope, and her single Smarter Than I just looked, is currently ranked number 18 on the UK talk radio top 100. And being a survivor of domestic violence and abuse as a child, many of her songs are a story of her life and the healing process experienced. Through her music, she tries to give a voice and strength to those who can't be heard. So, thank you so much, Brandy. So happy to have you here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So, first, I want to ask you a question. So, you are a great guitarist, because, you know, I've obviously heard your stuff. But on Facebook today, I found out that you had a finger-picking accident. You stretched the left tendon, is that right?
Yeah, I damaged the tendon in my thumb of my right hand. I was practicing finger-picking.
You were going too hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing. I'm like, I don't normally finger-pick, and that was something my instructor was trying to get me to get better at.
Right.
So I was being a good little student and practiced too long, plucked too hard, did something, but I felt a pop. And yeah, long story short, it's been out of commission for a while now. I wear a brace kind of on and off. There's still like a bump there though. And yeah. I've been told it's supposed to take like another 4 or 5 weeks.
It is.
I mean, I'm not a great guitarist. So
well, the other band
cover that. I jump in when it's needed, but so I'll survive. But it is very hard because I keep wanting to go towards my guitar, and I'm like, no, don't touch it. I'm going to make it worse.
Rest.
Especially that great PRS I got in the back screen that we talked about before we recorded. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's great.
And also there's so much about like allowing yourself that time to like rest and repair and recover that so many of us, especially moms, don't spend as much time as maybe we should because we're in that go,
yeah,
taking care of everyone else kind of space.
Yeah.
So, like, James, you want to start with some questions or?
Yes, I do. So, on your Facebook page, I think. Also Apple Music. You know, I'm a big fan of Apple Music instead of Spotify because I learned Spotify doesn't pay their artists. Huh? Yeah. So Caden Gordon got in contact with you to me, and so you're a country artist or pop artist, because it says pop artist on Apple Music and everywhere else.
So what kind of an artist I am is actually up for debate depending on who you talk to.
Got it.
I originally entered the music scene branded as a rock artist.
Okay.
And then I was told that apparently I don't have enough tattoos or ear piercings to qualify for that. So I was told I am pop, but then some of my stuff, I guess, was told comes across as country. And then other reviews, like there was a review done in the UK and they say I'm an adult contemporary. So I honestly have no clue. So as long as the person likes it, they can stick it in whatever box they want. Well, I'm really not particular.
Yeah.
So with that, okay, like so, not being... not being like a particular, you know, cookie cutter spot, how does that affect like the algorithms and people finding you?
It makes it hard. So like this time around, the EP we put out was a bit more pop and I guess country sounding. The next one that we're putting out definitely is going to have a slightly heavier feel. So more like an Evanescence sound.
Sweet.
Part of my dilemma is, so growing up, my influence was Aretha Franklin. She was my all-star idol, like end-all wannabe, you know, idol that I looked up to. And as I grew and got exposed to more music and different kinds of music, it just evolved. But I still kind of have that sound at the base. And so it just complicates everything. So that's where like a lot of people will say the Motown feel comes from, is her being one of my influences. I do like having a rock sound, but then I also like the art of storytelling, which tends to lean more towards country music and not pop or rock. So again, it's just, it's like a big hodgepodge and no one's really figured out where I'm supposed to be yet.
You're exactly where you're supposed to be.
So I just make what I like. We are actually going to be doing a, my producer and I, we're going to be putting out a country single that will actually be meant to be country in the next year, just to see how it flies. Mm-hmm. But it's a little tricky because I wrote it as a duet. So now I'm still looking for a male artist to collab with on it. So.
So country or rock, which one do you like kind of lean towards more?
I mean, I think they're kind of one and the same, to be totally honest.
That's true.
I think country and Western are probably different. But country music has evolved so much that it's been crossing over into rock and pop for generations.
Right.
Personality wise, I probably fit in better with country. I'm kind of a down home girl and, you know, I ride horses and I know how to hunt and, you know, all the stereotypical stuff I actually do. Because I was in Ohio, so
right.
depending on where in Ohio you are, there's not a whole lot going on. And I'm very conservative. Like, I'm not going to be one of those artists that'll be on stage in, like, a bikini and fishnets. So I like throwing my anime stuff in there, but
yes.
That's about as far as I go.
Well, see, the reason why I ask you about that is because I have a fun thing we can do right now. That's why I wanted to I'm going to test your knowledge on your rock. On your rock catalog. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a vinyl record, and you tell me if you heard this band or what does this album mean to you. Okay, I got three of them, so this is not going to be okay. So we got Soundgarden.
Okay, I've listened to Soundgarden.
Okay, what do you think about them? Does this album
bring back? I like them. No, I like them.
Okay,
I like the music.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have one of my favorite bands of all time, Deftones, the White Pony album.
I do not know that one.
You do not know that. Okay.
No, I'm sorry, but I will look it up later.
Yeah. All right. And then our last album is, I know you heard of this band. If not, then it's okay. We're not going to, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, Purple album.
Yes. Yeah. No, yes. I know Stone Temple Pilots well. Okay. Yes, I do like their music.
So did that, when I showed you that, did that bring you back some memories or okay. Yeah. Is there any stories you can tell us from that album that brought back memories for you?
Oh goodness.
Because I think that was
not ones 93.
That I yeah. Okay.
I think my girlfriends would get mad at me, so I'm going to suggest there are memories, but I cannot share those without permission. So.
This is like, James and I have often talked about how grateful we are that social media and digital media was not a thing when we were growing up.
When we were young.
Thank God for that.
Right, like I'm so grateful that...
Now, granted, most of us would probably be like social, like... stars as far as that goes, because what we did is way worse than what they have online right now.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, but there's no proof.
Oh yeah. So. You cannot prove half of the things. Far more than that. And even if there was a picture taken, like you get the negatives and it's gone. And like there's no more.
Yeah. Well, and that's my one girlfriend is always, whenever we talk about she's like, allegedly we did this. And it's like, there's no proof. So
there's no proof. Like, you can't prove anything. Exactly. Like,
I'm here for allegedly. Yes. So I'm curious about, like, we kind of talked about what kind of music you like. You play covers. You have released several covers. On the show, we do something called Cover Wars, where we listen to two covers of a song and kind of talk about what we like, what we don't like, and who the winner is. It's just because it's whoever. So I'm curious though, like your covers, we're not doing that to you today, don't worry.
Okay.
But your cover recently, like you released a cover of At Last.
Yes.
That is very like rock. So how does it feel, or what do you like about making a cover like yours instead of, you know, that copy almost?
Well, I should probably start by saying that it, at least in my eyes, it's considered one of the highest forms of flattery. I will only ever cover a song if I think the artist is phenomenal and I already love the song. Etta James actually was one of my favorite artists growing up. She's just had a gorgeous voice. And At Last was always a very pretty song to me. But whenever I thought about it or listened to it, I always got depressed. And I was like, this is supposed to be a song about love, but it makes me want to curl up and eat ice cream. I don't know why. So that was kind of the angle I took with that one. I was like, I want to make it happy. I want to make it, the idea was to make it relevant for this generation. So maybe people would start listening to it again. And hopefully if they heard it, they'd be like, huh, where is that from? And they could research and actually find the original. And listen to that again.
The other way around, like someone sees At Last, listens to a very different version, and then finds you as an artist and goes down the rabbit hole of your music, which is another great way to find new artists. To be honest, like, how do you find new artists when you're ready to add to your collection?
I actually try to go out in the local scene here as much as I can, and support local artists. So I've gotten a lot of really good music that way. I also will do random searches. I'll, like in YouTube, I'll put in new hot pop band or new underground rock band or whatever, and it'll generate as well. It also helps that we have a station out here on one of the rock and roll stations that they play all local artists for like this 1 hour during the night. I love
that.
Yeah, so it's good. Great because I get to hear bands that maybe aren't even generally in the area right now anymore because they're still submitting their music. So, and I've just, there's a lot of really, really great songs out there. And I also rely on friends. I know a lot of people in the music scene. I have a lot of friends on Facebook that are in the music scene, and I'm usually very open. I'll be like, hey, I'm bored. I need new music. What should I be listening to? And people will send me links and,
I do the same thing. I do the same thing. It's kind of fun.
And like one of the things, I noticed with your, like, at least when I was looking through your social media, specifically Facebook, you do a lot to lift other musicians up and spotlight them. And I'm not sure that I think a lot of artists do, but there's also a lot that don't. So like, why is that important, especially for smaller artists, you think, to put it out there for everyone?
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, music's hard. If you're really trying to make a go and get heard and get seen, especially in this generation, things like Spotify and streaming, they're great because it's easy to get stuff out there, but they've made it 100 times harder now to get heard because there's this ocean of new stuff. And, you know, I know how difficult it is to record and to, you know, perform. Anyone who gets on stage, I will always give them props because there is nothing easy about it. Whether, you know, they're cover band artist, original artist, karaoke singer, it's like it's the same risk. You're putting yourself out there. You have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to, you know, give a story and give a performance. And I think it's better if we helped each other out. I think more people would honestly get where they want to go, and we could all help each other rise. This isn't I'm going to beat you to the finish line. It should be, okay, how can we get up this hill and then reach down and pull the next one up? But it's not a widely shared mentality. Unfortunately, some people do see it as a very competitive me versus you, instead of it can be me and you. So if I can, I try to help out because, I mean, why not? It's better to lift people up than to push them back. So
Well, going on top of that, there are a plethora of artists and music genres out there on streaming devices, Spotify, Apple Music. What do you do to ensure that your music gets in front of everybody else's that you need, that's want and need for people to hear?
I try to do things like this. I try to talk to others. I try to get out in the music scene. I submit to as many local and indie stations as I can. Apple Music, they do some, you can do some paid promotions where they'll kind of like feature the start of your music or whatever as a suggestion based off of a genre. So I've tried that once or twice. Unfortunately, Spotify, I don't think there's much anyone can do. I actually just had a huge falling out with them.
100 really? Listens counts as one is what I saw.
Yeah, it's
one of those things like artists need super fans. We need the people who want to listen to our music 3, 4, 5 times a day. They're the ones that share it. They're the ones that, you know, buy merch and come to shows. And basically they're taking that away from us and they're saying, yeah, no, you don't get that just because you're not on a national record deal. Obviously that has to be fake.
Right.
And that's just not right.
No.
They just don't
want to
pay
out
royalties.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be real. Like Spotify's royalties are you're not going to make a whole lot of money from 100 streams.
No. 0.003% of a cent per stream.
That's not even.
So like you're not even going to make a dollar off 100 streams. So it's one of those, like, I'm like, why would you pay someone whatever to listen, you know, to a song? But I'm one of those, like, I will hyper-focus on a song. Like, I'll find a song or an artist. It's all I listen to for a month. And then, you know, it rolls off the rotation. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm the ADHD, same way. Especially when I'm driving, if I'm not listening to an audiobook, I have my playlists and they kind of rotate through on who's on it and what I'm listening to. But I'll listen to that same playlist for a couple of months and I might listen to that person's song 6, 7 times a day, depending on how much I'm driving. So,
yeah, because I have playlists that are, you know, 45 minutes. And so for me, like if I'm driving to the lake, it's an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. So I've got, you know, that and then back and then picking up kids, running to the grocery store, doing dishes, right? And so easily in a week, I could listen to the same song 10 or 12 times.
Yeah. Well, unless so, they, kids, sometimes they dominate which songs you're going to listen to more because my daughter will sit in the back and be like, not that one, Mom, skip.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you have, I know you said you have two girls.
I have a son and a daughter. My son is 15. My daughter's 13.
Okay.
Nice.
So I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son. So we're like right in that same
ballpark
sort of season of life with them. I saw that your daughter is a Hamilton fan.
Huge. Yes.
So my daughter and I are going to see Hamilton on Friday.
Ooh.
And I am so super excited because music is something that she really loves. Her choir concert was Monday night. I forget what day it is. So her choir concert was a few nights ago, and then now we're doing this. So, you know, as we've talked about this before too here, like when you hit 12, 13, like that's when you start to find like the music that you love because you're not being forced to listen to your parents' music anymore. So how do you feel like you influenced your kids and their decisions, what they listen to and all of that?
I do know she does pay attention when I say I don't like a particular singer for one reason or another, because sometimes I'll hear her repeat it with her friends later. So I do have to be very careful what I say. I'd like to think I've influenced her rather well, though, because her own natural selection with her and her friends, ironically, has been going back to 80s music. Yes. They've been pulling up Journey and Bon Jovi and God, she even had Toto in her playlist the other day. And I'm like, how are you finding this stuff? She goes, I don't know. I try to look up for good music, and this is the stuff that comes up. And if I like it, I add it. And I'm like, all right.
Hey.
She Rick rolled someone one day at karaoke. Her and her two friends sat on stage, and they sang the whole song. They're like, you've been Rick rolled. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
right. Yeah. So, but I agree with your daughter. I mean, 80s are like, it's like fantastic music. And, we did a episode on Taylor Swift the other day, and there's one song of hers that I really, really like. It's called Style, and that reminds me so much of the 80s, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a time when there was actual instrumentation and yes. harmony, and
the hairstyles were pretty bad, you know?
That's what we're starting to head back towards.
Yeah.
The mainstream stuff that's been going for a long time with the more EDM sounding stuff is apparently on a down curve, and the stuff that's gonna be more live music sounding is supposed to be upswing. So I'm gonna wait and see, but I'm looking forward to that because I would love to hear like full big rock bands and like Journey production things again, a new twist on them. So
yeah, I'm definitely, I think James too. Definitely more into like that. I'm not like electronic music, that stuff, not my thing. I tend to lean towards the country singer songwriter Americana, like that's my like go-to. So, and I think one of the ways, like for me, I find new artists, like you said, is through friends. Some of like my favorite artists or ones that were friends were like, you need to listen to this song. Or I heard this song and made me think of you. And then sometimes that helps you find other people, I think. Like my go-to is like if I find an artist I like, then I go to like whatever the artist's name is, radio. So it like plays similar artists on Apple Music. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to find newer people to you. You know, they may not be new, but I love that. Ability to find new different songs. So I know you've got some gigs coming up here in the next couple weeks. So like playing live, you don't know what you're going to get, right? Like with the people at the venue, the fans listening, all of that. So how do you keep your cool, or how do you like keep that professional attitude going when maybe people around you not so much have that attitude?
I mean, when it comes to performing, I always take the attitude of if it's going to go wrong or if it can go wrong, it's probably going to go wrong. You know, and it doesn't mean that it's going to have the entire show, but usually there's something here or something there. And I've just kind of learned to laugh it off. I'm just like, oh, okay, well, it's out of the way now, so let's keep going, you know, or just remembering that everybody in the audience is human. Like they're there because they want to feel something. They want to be part of an experience. They don't want to hear a perfect recording, because if they did, they'd go home and listen to it on their, you know, devices. Right.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So it's, you know, we do the best we can and we try to give the best show we can. And, you know, it's just about trying to connect with people. And as long as we do that, then, you know, we think it's probably we did our job. Okay. Hopefully people leave smiling and not crying. So depending on the song,
Yeah, I was like, sometimes crying is not an all bad thing, especially when listening to music. I know it makes me cry sometimes, not in a bad way necessarily, but. Oh. Those emotions come out.
Yeah,
I think.
So I got a question for you. Okay, so I've listened to Love, Lust, and Hope, your EP that came out this year, and I love Lovely Day and Inside. I think those are some of the best songs ever that I've ever heard in my life. But I would like to think that think of these songs, like you get inspiration from all kinds of things. Does does nature, like this outside, like when you think of these songs, you feel like, are you outside and in nature? And okay, well, I got a good idea. Does nature help you get inspired, or does like what all inspires you writing these songs?
Oh goodness, everything. Okay. Being out in nature, sometimes I'll just get an idea when I'm driving because I just happen to think of something or saw something. I've had full-on songs where I dreamt them and woke up and I was real quick to grab my notepad and try to write it down, scurried. And sometimes it's about something that someone else was going through and happened to be involved in their venting or their healing process. And so then that causes me to start to think about it and write about that. And I mean, I've got stacks of songs that haven't been put to music yet that are just lyrics because of how many things I experience and what goes on. So,
well, I would love to have your ability to remember your dreams, because I can't. I've only remembered one of my dreams, so it's and that's a span of 44 years now. So, I really want to your ability to remember anything that I dream. I don't care whether it's bad or good. I just want to remember.
That's about it.
yeah. Wow, that's great.
And I know you've spent, at least I noticed you spent a lot of time like fixing the landscape behind your house to make it healthier, prettier, better for the environment. So like, I love plants. Like if you were in my office right now, you'd see that there's like more than five. Mm-hmm. We'll just say more than five.
Okay.
Less than 100 in my house. Something, but like, I know that caring for plants and like, I'm assuming for you too, that nature outside, like, it helps give me like another sense of purpose. So like, how does spending time on like caring for, whether it's like plants in nature or your kids, like how does that help you take care of yourself as well?
Well, yeah, gardening is definitely very therapeutic. Both, you know, growing the plants, maintaining them. I do the back. Yeah, I've been trying. I'm a little bit of a ecology person from high school. I was actually one of the founding members back when we were young for a group called Earthworks Junior. And now it's this big international thing. I don't know how the hell that happened, but you know. We were 10, so eh.
It is what it is, right? Yeah,
it is what it is. But the so I've always had a strong connection with nature. I've always loved being in the woods, and I very much believe in being a steward, not a landowner. So, meaning if you own the property, then it's your job to better it for everyone, not just yourself. So, like, I try to plant native flowers and plants and stuff for the bees and whatnot. And that makes me feel good too. But also having weeds and things that when I'm not in a good mood, you know, being able to rip them out sometimes is a good thing. I have learned don't trim hedges when you're angry. It does not end well.
good to know.
For the gardening, that is definitely how that one works. My kids, they help me stay young. They're really good at reminding me about what joy is and what excitement is and how to look at things from different angles. They will get excited about something because of something about it that I would have never even thought about. Like going to the movies. I'm like, yay, we get to go see a movie. Like, but mom, I wonder what else we're going to do. And I was like, well, what? Like, well, you know, we always run into somebody when we're out. So I wonder who we're going to run into today. And then maybe we'll be able to make plans with them for the weekend. So no, we got to get there early. We got to go, mom. We got to, it's like, oh, all right. Well, I guess. But yeah, just finding joy in simple things too with them. They've really reminded me how important like family is. And we really try to make an effort to do things together. So we try to do board games together, or we'll do yard work, which they sometimes don't really like. But when it's done, they usually look back and they're like, oh, but we, you know, we got all this done. Look, and they'll brag to their friends what they did. So they may not at the time, but apparently it's not a horrible experience. But
and you're teaching them how to be an adult. You know, like, they're not adults yet, but, like, I always say my job as a mom is to raise adults, not raise children.
Well, but, and I want them outdoors doing things, too. Like, we have a training. We play in the creek. We go looking for salamanders still, or go looking for little fish, or we'll go fishing from time to time. We go camping. A lot of kids nowadays just live off of their TV and their electronics, and I think they're really missing out on everything we got to experience.
So
introducing my kids to flashlight tag for the first time, like, that was a huge thing for them. Like, how did you come up with this game? I'm like, I don't know, it's just what we all played when we were little.
I don't think I've ever played flashlight tag.
I played it at summer camp. It's got to be like dark, and like we would it was always fun because you can't find people, and then all of a sudden it's like, found you with the flashlight. And that's, I mean, it's nothing exciting, and also it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's that moving things back to like that simplicity. Like you kind of talked about even with the music and the coming back of like taking some of that digital stuff out and going back to that original, you know, actual instruments, live kind of stuff and big voices.
Yeah.
Like you like the Aretha and the Etta James. Like, those are two huge voices.
I had a bad habit of looking up to people that were a little out of my reach. I'm coming to learn that.
I mean, aim high, right? Like, what is it? Like, if you, I don't know, whatever, if you shoot for the moon and miss, you still land among the stars or something like that, you know. But, you know, with those, like, big voices, and, you know, I think we've seen this some with younger artists that they go and they use their big voice, but they don't take care of it. So, like, when it comes to that vocal health, what do you do to protect your voice, your, all of that, stay healthy?
Hydration, definitely important. I have singer's reflex, so I have to be careful about that. I have to be careful what I eat. And I have to sleep propped up. But then also I have a vocal instructor. I never stopped. The worst habits form when you get comfortable. And so I try to be very cautious about how I sing and how long. And he's a really good reminder, because we'll go through an entire show and be like, well, this is what we're going to do. And he's like, okay, well, but you realize on this song at this part, you were straining. So we need to figure out how we're going to get that without having that happen. And he'll go through, and it might be something that's a fluke and it just happens once, or it might be something that I just fall back into from time to time. But I really think working with a vocal instructor is probably the most important thing you can do if you want to have a career.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. Cause I think about, I like to go to the gym. I'm not like really an athlete or anything. It's fun lifting, moving weights around, but yeah, like form, like if you don't have the right form in the gym, you can hurt yourself. Not just like not gain the muscle that you want or strength that you want, like hurt yourself. And it's the same idea. It's like when I have someone that's helping me with my form and keeping me, you know, aware, less likely to hurt myself.
Personal trainers, in order to get to the next level. And they don't just lose them once they get to the Olympics. They, you know, they keep with them. And this is basically, you know, it's you're being a vocal athlete. So you really do need to have that professional by your side just to make sure you're doing everything right and you don't hurt yourself.
And I mean, I would argue it's your instrument, right? Like your guitar is behind you. Like you've got to tune them before you play them. You don't want to, like, you mean, you're not going to throw them in, you know, the bathtub and let them sit there and get wet, right? Like you've got to protect them as well. Like your voice, you've got to keep the environment healthy for it.
Is there any liquids like water, the bigger one? But I've heard that pineapple juice is like perfect for coating the throat and making it like, you know, stay the same.
I've been told apple juice, because it's not too acidic.
Okay.
But like my big thing is throat coat tea. I'm like addicted to the stuff.
Got it. So yeah.
I like the taste of it too, but.
Oh, good. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I love tea, all the teas, hot tea, iced tea, tea lattes. I just tea. Like everything. It's right? a problem. Dragon it's a, I don't know if you can see, I have a, right there, I have like a tea kettle in my office, sort of hiding. But so I can make tea, I don't have to leave my desk.
Right.
But it's, you know, it for me, it's a way that I can stay hydrated because mm-hmm. I don't always like water. And I like the warm, it feels good. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, it's, so having like a professional hydration and the other, all of that to keep your voice healthy. What about like your mind, like your mental health? What are the things you do for that?
Again, vocal coach, I'm not going to lie. He ends up being my therapist sometimes. on my own, my instruments, I mean, my music really is kind of my therapy. Someone told me a long time ago that music is medicine for people. And I think that's, you know, twofold. It's not only just a medicine to those who listen to it and are healing mm-hmm. from it, also from the people creating it. So if I'm having a really bad day, I might get out my guitar or come to my piano and bang on the piano for a while or play something that's more aggressive. If I'm sad, kind of thing, it's somewhere you can turn where there's no judgment and you can, you know, let out anything that you're feeling.
Yeah.
A lot of times writing is the same way. If I have something in my head, I can forget about sleeping until it's written down anyway. So I might as well put it in my notebook. And then, you know, exercise. I like going for walks, especially in the evening once it's warm. Here in Washington, we don't have fireflies, sadly, but that was always one of my favorite things to do was when I was in Ohio is go for walks in the summer with the fireflies.
I guess the metaphor, which part of Virginia, because I lived in Woodbridge and I saw like nothing but fireflies at nighttime, but I guess it's like, you know, they're really sporadic creatures, so you never know.
Yeah. We don't have them here.
Oh,
I'm in Texas.
Oh, okay.
You're like, I like to take walks in the summer. No, you don't go outside, like, unless you have to in the summer here.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
At all times, right.
Triple digits.
We've only hit 92 so far this year here.
Good.
So, like, and it's been a very, we've had a lot of rain, like, a lot more than normal, which is good because that means that our lakes are full and everything's green. My poor son is not happy about it because it means he has to mow the yard more, but he'll get over it. And so, like, you know, we kind of mentioned in the beginning that you are a survivor. I was about to say a victim, but you're not a victim because that is, like, actually one of your songs, right?
Yes, it is.
So you've survived like domestic violence and childhood abuse, and you want to use your music and your voice like for those that don't have one that they can share maybe yet or that aren't heard. So like, what are some of the ways that you do that? And also like, why is that important that we talk about this, even though it's hard?
That is true. Well, with the music, I definitely try to address it. And I try to address it from a standpoint of, yes, this happened, but it's okay. Like, it's not your fault or others are there. To be known that I wrote with my sister, the song is a combination of what, like, she went through and then what a neighbor friend of mine went through. But it talks about thinking that they're alone and, you know, the abuse and in the neighbor's case, it was it drived her to homelessness because she had to get away from it. But there are others that have gone through that and they can see that and they will help. But you have to make it known that you want the help or even that that's what you're going through. Some people are very good at hiding what they're going through in their lives. either because they feel shameful or they're fearful. And we really need to make it more normal to be able to speak up about this stuff. Don't make people feel like this is something that happened to them because it's their fault or because it was a bad, you know, bad situation, blah, blah, blah. You should just get through with it. You know, it sucks, but they don't have that choice. All they can do is try to survive it. And ultimately at the end, hopefully it makes them stronger, but there's enough of us that have gone through it. And, you know, many, many people just try to pretend it never happened. And I think that's the wrong attitude to take. If that occurred and you survived it and it, you know, own it, it's part of your life. It's part of who made you, who you are. And now right. you have the tools and the strength to possibly help someone else who doesn't know what to do right now. And hopefully it'll help put a stop to it. The more people who are less afraid to speak out, the better we can take action against it.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
But
no, I work with people with a history of abuse in their families. I mean, not exclusively, but I work with people with complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And so there's a lot of childhood abuse that often like turns into abuse that continues in adult relationships. And I think that oftentimes, one, it's what they know. So it's kind of what they just think is normal from childhood, but also like there's that it's harder to leave than people think. It's and so speaking out about it and having places I think that you can go to lean on people is really powerful. So thank you for being like a space that people can go to feel not alone in that like wild world of domestic violence and abuse that it's far more rampant than I think people have any idea because we don't talk about it.
No. Not and enough. Then people are made to feel shamed about it. They're like, well, you must have done something or, you know, whatever. When I was in school, actually one of my middle school instructors, he was the gym/health teacher. He figured out what was going on because he saw all the bruises. And he went to the school, and the school told him, shut up, don't make waves.
Yeah, that's...
Hopefully that's changed some.
I would hope. but I do know that happened. But his resolve when he was told that wasn't to just back down. It was to convince the school board that an entire semester of self-defense was mandatory for all women, all girls in that school, because this was something they were going to have growing up. So that was how he twisted it. He was like, okay, fine. You're not going to do anything. I am. And he got it to pass. And so I remember taking self-defense classes from a karate instructor in gym class that he managed to get pulled in. And then him spending special attention with me, making sure that I was getting the lesson and that I could strike back at full force where I could start defending myself. And that actually is what led up to me taking a stand against my dad at the time when I finally turned 16. So, because I finally had the skills to be able to fight back.
Right.
I am in love with that PE teacher. Like what an amazing man he is, or like just. Yes.
He passed a couple years ago, but he definitely, he was my hero growing up. Yeah. Saved me from that. He's also the one that taught me no matter what happens, even if it's bad, to take it in, learn from it, and learn, at the very least, learn what not to do. And, you know, try to grow from it. Without him and my music instructors through school, I probably wouldn't have survived high school. There were quite a few students in my class that committed suicide or met an untimely end due to drugs or drinking. And I was able to avoid that because of them. So
that's the importance of that one adult, even in someone's life, when they're a kid that just makes such a difference. So that is just, I love hearing stories like that about those teachers that show up and like the extra, like they're extra, as my kids would say, or whatever. I don't, do they still say that? Maybe they've stopped saying that one.
I've given up on keep up with the modern lingo.
Right.
Oh, sometimes I say things just to annoy my kids, and they'll be like, "Yeah, don't say that." And I'm like, "Oh, no, I'm saying this so that you don't say it."
Right.
Yeah, it's like nothing prepared me for going from like from mama to mommy to mom to bruh.
Hey, bruh. No, you don't say that.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Not yet, right? Yeah.
Like when they're saying something and it's like skippity toilet, and I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm like, what are you?
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, I'm sure that we had slang, you know, that our parents were like, what? But now I'm like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, what is that? Like, no cap or, I'm making myself sound old. I mean, I am, but I'm not that old. But yeah, it makes me feel old.
Do we have enough time for two more quick questions?
Sure.
Okay. First question. Amanda, if you don't mind, ask the last question that we have for her. Sure. I want to know your Mount Rushmore. Who are the four bands that you really, 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 really have to put on the Mount Rushmore if you had to pick one, four of them?
Bands?
Artists.
Or yes, whatever, yeah. I know Aretha Franklin's got to be on there for you. Yeah.
Aerosmith.
Good one.
Trying to think. So my problem is I have a very wide range of music that I
listen. Yeah. Aretha. Should we put Aretha up there?
Aretha. We could just put her on it. I don't know. She's the whole thing.
I'd be fine with it. Howlin' Wolf, probably. Okay. And one I more. Should probably put modern era. I'd go with Pink.
Pink, good.
I love great variety. I love that. Okay. So the like question that we usually end on is we all have that like one song or album that we listen to and it just like it hits us in that like certain way that we can't really explain to anyone else, but it's like our go-to. Maybe when we're feeling happy or sad or right, all of those. So what is that like album or artist or song that you just go to? It's kind of your go to no matter what.
If I am either having a really good day or I guess a really crummy one in some cases. I'm actually, no one's going to know what the band is, but I'm a big Veruca Salt fan.
I know what the band is.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'm
44. Like we're that. Yeah, we're right there.
And depending on how I'm feeling, will depict which song. So, although Volcano Girls is one of my favorites.
Yes, yes. Volcano Girls. Yeah.
No, and I yes. See, they're right. Like people need to. We need to go back to those like solid. Did they come out in the early 90s? Is that when?
I think it was the early 90s, but they kind of stayed underground. They didn't hit like the really hardcore mainstream scene. So they got
really
notoriety. Like they got a little bit of popularity, but then it just kind of slid under the radar. So yeah. Most people, when I tell them about that, they're like, "Who?" I'm like, "You don't know the song like Seether or Volcano Girls?" Or they're like, "What? No." I'm like, "Okay, or maybe I was just a punk child. I don't know."
No, because maybe we all were. I don't know, but that was definitely like in my playlist. I guess we didn't really have playlists. It was on my mixtapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you found in 94.
Back in the day. Yep. So smack in the middle of high school.
We were both 14, Amanda.
I know. So long ago.
Years ago.
No. Yeah. Man. Time has flied by. Yeah. So, Randy, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners or anything before we?
You know, just check out the music if you get the chance. You can find everything on my website at brandywinemusic.com. And yeah, I hope that everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, it is good stuff. I really encourage you to listen to it. It was my music today at the gym, so I appreciated it. It's great. And it's definitely, like you said, it's got a rock, country, pop, all of the things vibe to it. So I think everyone can find something that they would love. You have that. Sorry. Did that cover of Hallelujah that was just beautiful.
Yeah, I actually recorded that for Children's Hospital for a fundraiser they were doing.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. So, and then once that was over, we released it. So.
Sorry. Nice. I really did. I like listened to all the things. I went down the rabbit hole. and it was so fun and enjoyable. And you've got me through leg day. So thank you very much.
Like they're the worst, right? Yeah, so yeah.
Never skip leg day.
We honestly love you and come back anytime you want to, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you all for listening to today's episode of When Words Fail, Music Speak. And remember, when words fail,
music speaks. Bye guys.
Have a great day.